The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. Appreciate you spending part of your Memorial Day here with us on First Take. Thank you to all the fallen soldiers who gave their lives to help protect the greatest country in the world, the ultimate sacrifice, and we are forever grateful. I'm Molly Karam Rose. That is Max Kellerman. That is Stephen A. Smith.
Yo, yo.
The jacket is fly. We need to shout out Chicago Playground. Yeah. Ask and you shall receive when you are Stephen A. Smith. I also got one. I cannot wait. And I want to mention, we're going to be traveling again, First Take. Very excited about that. That's my one of my favorite parts about this job is getting to see the fans. And we're going to be going to a bunch of HBCUs
That's right.
So we're really looking forward to it. And now I got a fresh fit. I can stay warm.
That's right.
So it'll be good. As
you know, me, I'm a graduate of Winston-Salem State University at HBCU. Very, very proud. More proud of them than I am of other people right now.
Okay.
And them damn Knicks. But that's all right. That's all right. I'm not going to be distracted. But Chicago Playground, shout out to them. Thank you for that. This is a beautiful, beautiful jacket.
For sure.
I asked and I have received.
They took care of me. The color blocking, all fresh.
And thanks to Donovan Mitchell for wearing it. I saw that because Donovan Mitchell was wearing it. And then CP3 connected me with the people at Chicago Playground
that did
this. CP3 with the assist.
Made it happen. All right, speaking of CP3, let's go to some playoff basketball, guys. The Suns and Lakers all knotted up, two games apiece. Injuries dictating much of the series. First, it was CP3. Now it's Anthony Davis. Davis missed the second half of Game 4 versus the Suns with a groin strain in their 192 loss to Phoenix. AD came into the game playing on a sprained left knee that he suffered in Game 3, landing awkwardly after executing a chase-down block on Devin Booker. Davis will be day-to-day on a return, according to Woj. Here's LeBron.
Well, I mean, it's next man up. And obviously, if he's not ready for Game 5, it's going to be a tough blow for our ball club. But, you know, next man up. And we've been like that all year. And, you know, we're going to have to be like that in the hostile environment in Game 5. You know, these shoulders was built for a reason. And, you know, if it takes for me to put some more on top of it, then so be it. Win, lose, or draw, I'm ready for the challenge.
Sometimes numbers are misleading. Pay attention to this. So LA's 11-7 record in games with LeBron James without Anthony Davis, not really telling the full story. The Lakers were 1-6 in those games against this year's playoff teams, which includes a loss against this Suns team. Comparatively, they went 10-1 against teams that didn't make the playoffs. Stephen A., that's for you. I know you care about resumes, so we'll put that in for you, sir. So tell me this. Who is winning this series now?
Me personally, with Anthony Davis hobbling, I believe it's going to be the Phoenix Suns.
Wow.
And, you know, obviously I would not pick the Phoenix Suns to win the series. I have the Lakers winning this series in 7 games. But that was assuming that Anthony Davis and LeBron James were playing.
Mm-hmm.
With Anthony Davis and that groin injury, obviously that's a very sensitive and very tender issue. And as a result of that, I don't know who's expecting him to be back. And meanwhile, CP3 is literally making plays, making signature shots, and then looking into the cameras and saying, I'm back. You understand? And then I'm looking at these young thoroughbreds, and I love the way Cameron Payne has been filling in for CP3. He's been very impressive. We know Devin Booker is a star in this league and how big time he is. Certainly, they're not lacking the coaching. And I can't say enough about DeAndre Ayton because he's a big boy who's playing big. He's a dude that's walking around and he's giving you 20 and 10 a night. Last night, I believe he had, 17 rebounds, if I remember correctly. So I'm looking at it from that perspective and I'm saying to myself, yo, this stuff is no joke right here. I'm looking at them and I'm saying the Los Angeles Lakers are in a world of trouble because Phoenix is younger, they're fresher, they can run more, and in order for the Lakers to win, you got to put the ball in LeBron James' hands and dictate pace. And you're going to have people that can finish. And without Anthony Davis, he doesn't have a reliable, dependable weapon to finish for him while he's trying to control pace. It's a problem. I'm going to tell you right now, unless Anthony Davis gets healthy, the Los Angeles Lakers, and LeBron James specifically, will be going home in the first round.
Kuzma botched the play at the rim. I was like, come on, man. Yeah. But I'll, let me say this. When the series began, I thought Lakers in 7.
Mm-hmm.
Then CP3 got hurt. I said, oh, okay. Lakers in 6, maybe 5. Mm-hmm. Now AD gets hurt, I'm back to Lakers at 7. And I'll tell in 7, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
CP3 came back.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's showing the heart of a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's AD's turn. Even if AD has to be held out a game because a groin, a hamstring, that's the kind of injury only rest is going to make better. It's otherwise going to get
exacerbated.
And by the way, even the way he came down, I was reminded of Sam Jackson. They called me Mr. Glass, right, from that Shyamalan movie, because Unbreakable, because it's like he didn't even look like, how did he even hurt himself there? But that groin's hamstrings are like that. So let's say he has to sit out the next game to give him a nice long break before, but he can get back to game 6 as some semblance of himself. Stephen A., you don't have to be 100%. I'm saying the Lakers are going to take that game 6. They're not going out that way. It's going to come down to a game 7. If AD can go in game 6, it'll come down to a game 7. Give me LeBron in game 7. Give me the LeBron team in game 7. Assuming AD can play, give me the team with LeBron James in game 7. He has consistently come through since that Dallas series way back when in Miami. He's consistently come through when the odds are stacked against him. Chris Paul has been to one conference finals. Not his fault. He got hurt game 7, or else I think they would have gone to a finals. But he does not have, you could say it's because he's short. Right, sure. If he was 7 feet tall, it'd be different. But he's not. He's 6 feet tall. Give me LeBron James in game 7. I say the Lakers still take this. It goes the distance.
Listen, I don't believe that. I just look at the Phoenix team. They've got perimeter shooters. They've got athletes. They've got defenders. They've got active young bodies. They have depth. I look at all of these things. And again, now it comes down to certain components. Do you have floor generalship? The CP3? Yes, you do. Do you have a star that can deliver the goods from the perimeter? In Devin Booker? Yes, you do. Do you have a big man that is better than average, that can go out and give you 20 and 10 a night and make his presence felt? Whether it's scoring, it's rebounding, it's a nice combination of both. Do you have that? Yes. And do you have coaching? Yes. And do you have depth? Yes. They're not missing anything against these Lakers. And that's what I'm saying. The greatness of Anthony Davis is what's required to pull out this series. I'm looking at LeBron James, 18th year in the league, 36 years of age, 25-12-6. Nothing to sneeze at. Monster jam on the fast break. We get all of that. But when he can't defend everybody, and he can't make shots for everybody else around him, he can facilitate a lot of things. But in terms of finishing, he needs help against a team like this.
Anthony Davis is supposed to, by the way.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up, because certainly Kentavious Caldwell-Pope not being out yesterday was a very big deal, because he's your perimeter shooter. He's your primary perimeter threat. I get all of that. I'm just saying this Phoenix Suns team we've been watching all year that has proven to us they are no fluke. They've proven to us you need your weapons in order to
be. Everything you're saying is true. I'm not disputing that. But it was true before AD got hurt, too, and except for the finishing stuff. And AD was not having a big game, but his presence on the floor, Lakers are going to win that game. They felt to me like they were in control. They felt to me like they were in control of the game. They had a little lead. When AD went out, it's when the Suns took off and never looked back. So I'm saying you bring AD back, and I'm glad you brought up Ayton. Because one of the reasons I didn't like the Suns, even more than I did, and I liked them a lot before the season started, was Ayton's the question mark. He's the ironically, the number one overall pick, who was already pretty good, and CP3 was supposed to make better, and he did, was the big question mark. Because we know what we're getting from the backcourt, from the forwards. It could come down to Ayton's play in game 7, but I don't think he's ready. LeBron and these guys are ready as Ayton.
But it wasn't a question mark because of what he was lacking. It was a question mark because we know that when Anthony Davis showcases his greatness, few people on the planet can match that. So what does he do? He comes out in game 1 and he wet the bed. He didn't get it done. He owns it. And then over the next 2 games, he's an absolute monster. Because it's like, wait a minute, y'all must have forgot who the hell I am. Yeah. This is what I got to bring to the table. Okay, DeAndre Ayton, you woke me up. So what I'm saying is, it wasn't just that Anthony Davis was there. He was great in games 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Well, if he misses game
34 points in games 2 and 3.
That's right.
So 13 in game 1.
If he misses game 5, they'll have the better part of a week before he plays again.
I'm just telling you that he can't be a guy that just shows up That's not enough against this team.
Would they have won game four if AD didn't go out of the game? Because he was not – he passed 6, 8 points, something like that.
I believe they would have. But what I'm saying to you is – all I'm trying to say is the greatness of Anthony Davis is required to win this series. Not just Anthony Davis. The greatness of Anthony
Suns
Davis.
Suns in seven, right?
Right now, yeah.
Lakers in seven.
Right at now. The end of the day, it was about the old guys. This was the first time in NBA history two players older than 35 led their teams in points and assists. Age ain't nothing but a number. We'll keep it moving, guys. Let's get to another hot-button issue in this playoff series, fan interaction and protecting NBA players. We had another concerning incident, this time in Boston, and the ire was directed at Kyrie Irving. A Celtic fan was arrested after allegedly throwing a water bottle at the former Celtic. The bottle missed Irving, who's walking towards the tunnel following the Nets' 141-126 win on Sunday night. Kyrie, talk to me.
It's unfortunate, you know, that sports has come to a lot of this, you know, kind of crossroads where you're seeing a lot of old ways come up. It's been that way in history in terms of entertainment, performers, and sports for a long period of time of just underlying racism and just treating people like they're in a human zoo. You know, throwing stuff at people, saying things. You know, there's a certain point where it just gets to be too much. So, you know, I called it out. I just wanted to keep it strictly basketball, and then you just see that people just feel very entitled out here. You know, they pay for the tickets, great. I'm grateful that coming in to watch a great performance, but it's just, you know, we're not at the theater. We're not throwing tomatoes and other random stuff at the people that are performing. You know, it's too much.
I mean, fans got to grow up at some point. I know that being in the house for a year and a half with the pandemic got a lot of people on edge, got a lot of people stressed out. But when you come to these games, you got to realize, man, these men are human. You know, we not animals. We not in a circus. Grow the up and enjoy the game. You know, it's bigger than you.
I think that was so well said by KD there. I just want to remind you guys, this is the second time a fan has thrown something at a player while they were leaving the court this postseason. We saw a Sixers fan banned from Wells Fargo Center after dumping popcorn on Russell Westbrook while he walked off the court during game two of the Wizards' first round series against Philly. Stephen A., how does the league handle this? How do we as the media handle this moving forward?
Well, first of all, I love the fact that the kid was arrested. Mm-hmm. I hope he's still in jail. I don't know if they took him to jail, but if they did it, they should have. And if he was taken, he should still be there. That's number one. Number two, I love the fact that we all saw him on camera. I think that shame and humiliation is an important deterrent. Because a lot of times, people are emboldened because they get to hide. And when you show that everything's going to be brought to light, then that serves as a potential deterrent. Number three, in the interest of fairness, I also think that's important because we all know that the players, the athletes themselves, they would be in this position. They would be put front and center, and their faces would be treated like mugshots if they were to engage in any kind of insidious behavior. And so I love that. But the NBA, as I said last week, everybody needs to be on alert. Now, the racism and all of that stuff that Kyrie alluded to, I also want to point out there's a whole bunch of people in that crowd that pointed out the kid who threw that bottle, okay? So I think that's incredibly important to point out that it wasn't people turning a blind eye and a deaf ear. They were like, oh, no, that was him. And everybody pointed that kid out, and it was a beautiful thing that they did that because that's incredibly important, particularly with Boston and its history to some degree, which is what Kyrie Irving alluded to. Having said all of that, let's take this a step further because, as I said last week, Max, it's not just about the fact that George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin, the cop in Minneapolis, and then there was the social justice issues and protest and initiatives that were taking place. You had a whole bunch of people that were stuck home, like Kevin Durant alluded to. And they've been waiting to get at these players. They've been waiting to get at them. I don't believe they came to the court. Even though Kyrie, you could say it was classless or whatever, he stepped on the leprechaun at midcourt and all of this other stuff. I don't believe for one second that things like that prompt somebody to do the kind of stuff that we saw.
Here's that incident you just alluded to where he's stepping on the leprechaun.
I don't believe that's what did it. I believe you've got folks who come to these games and they have an agenda. They know exactly what they want to do ahead of time. I really, really do, particularly with these players. Now, at some point in time, white America is going to have to wake up and stop trying to act like racism is a thing of the past. It's not. It's present. And in my estimation, the reason why I'm able to be cool and calm about it is because I'm not apologizing for saying this. I know there's a bunch of racists out there. I know they've been out there. I know they are out there. And I know they're going to be out there. I don't give a damn what y'all say at all. I'm not saying everybody. I'm not saying most.
Of course not.
But there are a lot of folks out there who happen to be white that really, really, really have a problem with black people, particularly black athletes, being in those positions. And anytime they get an opportunity to express their venom and vitriol and hostility, they're going to take it. Does it surprise me? I'm not shocked. Of course, it's disappointing, but it is what it is. Trae Young gets spit on. Ja Morant's family, okay? Of course, you got Kyrie Irving, all right? These are the kind of things that we're talking about here. White men coming at black men and in a secure, insulated environment where you don't have to worry about direct retaliation. Because, and Russell Westbrook, of course, because you know they're going to be restrained. That's what's going on. We understand it. Don't be surprised by it. It's incredibly disappointing. The leagues, the media, and everybody else is just going to have to stand up and say, we know who the hell you are. We know what you are. We're not surprised by it. You'll be dealt with. That's what you do.
I'm not convinced that maybe Kyrie doing that on the, you know, on the logo maybe did, you know, inflame things more. It's obviously not an excuse to throw something at a player. Yeah. Leave the guy who's wearing a Garnett jersey. Right?
Like, yes, it was.
Garnett was a dude who gave everything to the organization, the whole Celtic pride thing and everything. And Kyrie, maybe they felt like, no, he didn't. He said he wasn't going to leave. Then he bounced, and then he comes back and disrespects the logo. That is not an excuse, but did that precipitate it? Did they have it? Was it premeditated? I don't know. I have no way of knowing that. I do know this, Stephen A. To me, this is something new. You could say, well, it's like a continuation, but to me, it's something new. I'll tell you why. Because everyone saw it led TV shows. We talked about it on this show a lot. What happened when a fan spat, when a fan threw popcorn? What happened? Indefinite ban. Mm-hmm. And people could say, well, it's not a lifetime ban. What's the difference? A lifetime ban can be lifted. Yeah. This is like an indefinite ban. Like, you didn't come in, like, until further notice, you're out of here. And the fans saw that and did it anyway. That bothers me. Because it, to me, that is something new. It's like, consequences be damned. Why? He doesn't want to get caught. But if I do get caught, whatever. This is worth it. I think what KD said was so excellent. And it's not even what we showed. Here's the quote. Have some respect for the human beings. He said, we're not in a circus. And have some respect for yourself. Your mother wouldn't be proud of you throwing water bottles at basketball players or spitting on players or tossing popcorn. So grow the expletive up and enjoy the game. It's bigger than you. But, right, have some respect for yourself. I always say, you know, we talk about this sometimes, Stephen, and you're like, well, you can't say that. It's not a good reflection on the people who raised you when you behave that way. Mm-hmm. It's a bad reflection. And I'm torn about showing people, because I don't like shame generally used to teach behavior. But on the one hand, if you show them, it is disgraceful. On the other, maybe some people think they get some clout from doing that. Like in baseball games, remember once upon a time, guys would jump out on the field and do all kinds of wild stuff, and the cameras always show them like a sideshow. And after a while, they realize this encourages copycat behavior. So what did they start doing? They wouldn't show it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Kenny Smith brought up on TNT, and they had a really interesting conversation because Shaq and Charles were like, fans have always been this way. And Kenny said, I think it's very concerning potentially showing their faces because, Max, what you're alluding to, we see this with mega crimes where people are seeking attention and they're seeking fame. So it's really a double-edged sword because, yes, they should be shown because if it was a player who threw something, it'd be all over, posted over everything. But it is concerning if we're going to get more of these acts because people are looking for attention.
People are looking for attention when they're not concerned. about the repercussions and ramifications.
Absolutely.
So if all I have to do is get cuffed and then I have to leave the arena, all right, you might ban me from the arena and I might not give a damn about going to a Celtics game. Mm-hmm. But if I got a $5,000 to $10,000 fine that I'm going to have to pay, if not more, and I'm going to do some time, and everybody in the area is going to know who I am, if not the country, and I'm shamed in that regard, certainly that can be a deterrent. And this is the thing that we also have to pay attention to. And I'm not getting political here, but damn it, I'm going to say it. It's First Take. You know what time it is. We've made so many things partisan. You know, there was a riot that took place at the U.S. Capitol this past January 6th. And there is I know people have been arrested, and I know people are expected to pay a stiff penalty, but they're few and far between compared to the inordinate amount of folks that showed up in the nation's capital and threatened the lives of elected officials. And what kind of price are you paying? The bottom line is, if you don't show the world that there's a price that you have to pay for such egregious behavior.
That's right.
You're going to serve as an enabler and basically encouraging other people to get away with
that. That's right. And that was partisan. One party were insurrectionists and now are blocking, you know, an investigation into it. But that is partisan. This is not partisan. And it's not the NBA either. This is, you know, like legal ramifications. That's for the law. And that's what I mean when I say when you enter an arena, you don't exit the United States of America. You don't exit the state you're in. You don't. It's not an embassy. You know, you're not subject to different laws. The NBA can only do so much. They can ban you from the arena. They can have you removed, ban you from the arena. What else can they do? At the next step is you're subject to legal prosecution. And they should be. That's right. I'm just saying that's not on the NBA. That's on law enforcement. And if Trae Young doesn't press charges, what are you going to do?
It's also on the media, because when you talk about how you're not into shaming, you know, my rhetorical question would be, why the hell not? Because the fact of the matter is, anything that could potentially serve as a deterrent is something that should be entertained.
But then there's also those copycat crimes, and I don't want to get really heavy and really deep, but where things can go with that, with different...
Even a fine, if they have the money for great tickets, they might feel like...
Depends on how you deal with people.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't call the comeback. The LA Clippers, even the series with the Mavs and Dallas. Kawhi Leonard, looking like Kawhi Leonard again, putting up 29-10-3. Paul George did his thing too, 29-3. PG on his PIC.
I think we both, you know, just have done a great job just complimenting each other. You know, he's been all out driving, attacking, putting pressure on, you know, the bigs at the rim, and, you know, myself as well. You know, when he needs a break, he needs a breather. Now I'm in attack mode, and, you know, I'm trying to give him a break. So I think we're just doing a great job countering each other. You know, it's fun. You know, this is ultimately what, you know, we wanted to get to, being able to share the court together and, you know, do it on both ends together.
All right, so the Clippers have turned things around behind some stellar play by Kawhi, who's averaged over 35 while shooting over 70% from the field the last three games. Hey now, Kawhi, first player to average 35 points while shooting 70% over a three-game span in the playoffs since the shot clock era began in the 50s. Max Kellerman, are you no longer concerned about your boy Kawhi and those Clippers?
I've never been concerned about Kawhi. Kawhi, as I keep saying, is one of the greatest postseason performers ever. Ever. There are very few who have ever played who are as good under pressure as Kawhi. No, I'm never worried about Kawhi. He's just not a point forward. He's not a point guard. He's a scoring two or three. That's what he does. He'll make everyone around him better. He's an offensive and defensive weapon, and he's twice been the best player on championship teams, two different franchises. I've never been worried about Kawhi, Stephen A. I was worried about Ty Lue. Because I couldn't understand, adjustments needed to be made, right? And I couldn't understand why Rondo is getting 19, 20 minutes a game. And I thought that was the adjustment Ty Lue was going to make. It wasn't. Rondo got his same 19, 20 minutes. And by the way, he was his same excellent self. Like, Rondo is playoff Rondo. Whether you play him for 30 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, he's excellent. But Ty Lue did make an adjustment. He went small. Batum got the lion's share of the minutes that were going to bigs before. And that made the difference. Luka being hurt, obviously. But Ty Lue's adjustment made the difference. Kawhi is not that kind of player. He's not. You could say, well, LeBron could be like a coach. That's not Kawhi. He's not a point forward. He's not going to run your offense. He's going to do Kawhi, which is basically never miss a shot and play great defense. That's what he does. I'm not worried about him. It's Ty Lue, and he showed something last night.
I was scared because I got love for Ty Lue and his coaching staff because I've known them for years. I was scared, and I love me some Paul George as a person just as much as a player. I was scared to death. Clippers about to get swept. I like, you got to win game. You know, but I knew because I texted Michael Irvin. I saw him sitting in the suite, and I saw him in there, and I said, oh, they're going to lose this game. I said, they're going to lose this game. Then I saw all them damn Cowboys in there. I said, Dallas ain't winning this game.
What is wrong with you?
I said, I'm not right. Dak Prescott was in attendance. Michael Irvin was in the suite.
You know his nickname's the Playmaker,
that's why. I said, you don't show up to Dallas Mavericks. Don't contaminate them people like that. Don't do that. That's what happened. But I will tell you this. Charles Barkley's right. I don't think the Dallas Mavericks are winning another game this series. Mm. And I went from being scared that the Clippers were on the verge of getting swept to saying Dallas Mavericks ain't going to win another game this series. Here's why. Kawhi looks sensational over the last two games. And he did something that I wanted him to do, which he called on the team to just clamp down, be better defensively, spoke up. That's a good thing, galvanizing the truth. Remember, I've never complained about his numbers, never complained about his ability. It's that ability to lead, which LeBron and others have done, which I thought he was sorely lacking. All right, still got something to prove in that regard, but it is what it is. Kristaps Porzingis, I don't want to hear another word about him. He's just not that dude. He's just not that dude. I mean, 7 points last night. 18 points last night. 7 points in game three. 18 meaningless points last night. You're a minus 21 when you're on the court. Luka Doncic has nerve damage in his neck. I don't know how you get over that in the next week. Nerve damage in your neck. And I appreciated Charles.
That hurts me. You just saying it.
I appreciated Shaq giving him props for playing hurt the way that he did. We really should appreciate Luka being out there and really, really
doing
trying.
What he could do, whatever
doing
he could
what
do.
He could do. Yeah. I mean, he could. You could see it was a struggle for him to lift his head up. It was a struggle for him to lift his head up. He was hurting that bad, but he had no help. And then that brings me to Dallas. And anybody that knows me knows, I go back a very long ways with Rick Carlisle, who I got a lot of love for. We've known Mark Cuban for years. We got a lot of love for Mark Cuban. He's a friend of this show. I gotta say this about them. If you lose these playoffs, it will be six times in the last 10 years since you won the title, since you beat LeBron and D-Wade in Miami, Mac, in 2010, 2011. It's been 10 years. This year, if you lose in the first round, it will mark the sixth time you've been bounced out in the first round. And the other four times, you never even made the playoffs. I mean, damn. We just going to sit there and just ignore that?
I think
we just
gonna, bigger.
We just going to gloss over that? Six, I mean, over the last 10 years, four no appearances and six first-round exits. And that's it. At some point in time, we got to sit up there and say, Rick Carlisle, Mark Cuban, what's up with that?
Look.
What's up with that?
Well, I mean, what's up with it now is they have hurt stars. Now, number one, what you say about Porzingis is true. Everything I used to say about Porzingis, injury has meant, and it's injury again this year, has meant he's just not built that way, 7'3". Injury has meant that every year he has to try to get back to where he was the year before, so he never gets any better. In fact, he's backsliding, and he had a bad game. You're right. I thought one day he could win an MVP. No, I don't think that anymore because of his health. But also, Luka, that's the biggest story here to me, is not even this series. When I hear nerve damage, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Right. Is this something this dude's going to have to deal with from now on?
No, I'm not
from
worried
now
about
on?
That. I'm not thinking like that.
I am.
I'm not thinking like that. I'm just thinking about it ain't going to get much better for the rest of the series.
I think they could.
I think that's safe to say.
On heart they could get a game, listen, but they're going to lose a series.
Listen, I want to give Marcus Morris props, not because of last night. What that brother did in game three down the stretch, left corner, not one, not two, but three big-time threes. That's what really, really propelled them to that victory in game three, because they were still in trouble with Luka giving them over 40. But in the end, Porzingis, man, he's a 7'3 jump shooter, and that's even suspect at times. Just a weak performance on his part.
Question for you.
You expect more. Help out Luka in some capacity.
Yep.
He ain't doing
Question for both of you quickly here. Do you think it was a mistake for the Knicks to get rid of him now? I know you were hard on the Knicks for that.
Given his injury history, I, in retrospect, I probably still wouldn't have traded. I mean, like, it's too knowing what we know now, yes, of course. But it's too tantalizing because I keep hoping as a fan of his originally when I was a Knicks fan and he was on the Knicks, one of these years he's going to get healthy at the right time and have a run in the playoffs. But it's like you're rolling the dice. You hope the injury takes place early and then doesn't reoccur and he can build some momentum. It never seems to work out that way.
So it sounds like they made the right move.
According to what I was told at the time, he went into their office and essentially blackmailed them. He let them know, I don't want to be here. I want out. If you keep me here, then I'm simply going to let it be known that I don't want to be
here.
You
won't get anything for me.
And no free agents will want to come here. So under those conditions, they had no choice.
Yeah.
That's what I was told. If it's false, somebody lied. But that was the story.
But what about from a basketball perspective?
From a basketball perspective, listen, I don't have a problem with him being gone because I'm looking at him and I'm saying, where are you? I mean, these are weak. Listen, when Luka Doncic is not just a ball player. Mm-hmm. He's a baller. He gets in your face. You too short. You too slow. You too fat. You can't mess with me. He talks and he backs it up when healthy. And he's got people, or at least one guy that's supposed to be the number two, that on far too many occasions does not show up to help him.
The issue with Porzingis is you have to commit money to him at that time. And given his health, you can't have that number invested in a league with a cap, even if it's a soft cap. You can't devote that much of your team's financial resources to someone who's not going to be there. And when he is there, is frequently compromised. Now, last year in the playoffs, you see why they did it. Because until he got hurt, he was giving him 35. He was like, oh, my God, Paul George, if you could be a second banana like that, you could win a championship. So it's tantalizing.
Yeah.
But at this point, it just seems like if he ever puts it together, you may have to spend his whole career waiting for him to do it one time, and it's not worth it.
All right, and as far as this series, Stephen A. again says he does not see the Mavericks winning another game.
Barkley deserves credit because Barkley's the one that said he beat me to it because our first take didn't start until this morning. But Charles Barkley said it last night, and I said, damn.
You co-signed.
He beat me to it. Okay. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Who's going to stop the Clippers if they get by the Mavs? Who's going to stop them until the conference finals?
Well, I think don't they play Utah next?
Yeah.
If Utah gets past Memphis, which I believe they will. Is Utah next?
You like Utah over the Clippers?
Right now, I would have to say that.
I don't.
Yeah, right now I'd have to say that.
It's going to be a good series.
Utah's a different beast.
That'll be a good matchup.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from the Seaport District in New York City, brought to you by Chase, a gorgeous shot of Lady Liberty on this Memorial Day.
We're here! New York Knicks, handling their business. Game two, series tied, 1-1. We coming to the ATL, the ATL. Give it to me, give it to me. We here.
The higher the level is, the more I get ready for it.
Game four to the Hawks, 113-96.
The bottom line is this. Their star, Trae Young, showed up yet again, and he had help.
It's not over. It's not nearly over.
They were offensive offensively. And as a result, the Atlanta Hawks pushing the Knicks to the brink of elimination.
You know what, Max? I really try not to wear my heart on my sleeve, but when I just saw that video with Stephen A, with the fans going nuts, New York stand up, I feel sad.
Molly, like, Stephen A, sad stop. For him. We need to stop everything for a second. I just want to point out.
Yeah.
Do you see how a Knicks fan acts when they win a single home playoff game to a lower seed that already took a home court from them in game one? For the first time in 8 years, they win a single. Look at how a Knicks fan reacts.
Sad.
I think it's funny, but yeah, no. You can find it sad.
Yeah, I do. I feel a little sad inside, but... Trae Young, he's not sad because the Trae Young show continues, leading the Hawks to a commanding 3-1 lead. 17-point win. Ugh. Game 5's at MSG. Stephen A., does this series even go back to Atlanta?
Yeah. It's been a rough, been a rough weekend. Trae Young is special. He's just special. But we going back to the ATL.
Really?
Yeah, we going back. I ain't going out like that. Listen. Okay?
Say it with your chest. Look at you.
Is this faith? Are you just trying to you know, your listen, lips to God's ears trying listen, to make listen, things
listen,
happen?
Listen, I'm not a typical nauseating, disgusting Cowboy fan. You never saw me out there when the Knicks were stinking up the joint, acting like we gonna win the championship the next year like the Dallas Cowboys do every week. I've never done it. I'm just talking about a game. You gotta take one game at a time. We're not here to talk about the past.
The Cowboys have been in the playoffs.
We're not here to talk about the past. Well, you know, New York Knicks have been in the playoffs since 1999. It's just that they stunk. But the bottom line is this. The point is that we're not here to talk about the past. We're going to move forward. We're going to focus on Wednesday night. Going to take one game at a time. All right? Trae Young is averaging 27.5 points, 10 assists, shooting 47% from the field. He's just been spectacular. And then they got talent around him and Herter and Collins and Hunter and these boys and Bogdanovich. I mean,
Gallinari off the bench.
Gallinari's balling. They can do what the Knicks can't do. They can make shots. And I'm going to say this. Let me be very, very serious and just take my emotions out of the side. And just put on my basketball hat. I'm very, very proud of the Knicks and specifically Julius Randle this year and what he's been able to accomplish. He's the most improved player. He deserved the award. He got my vote for it, etc. He has been horrible in this playoff series. He is shooting 27% from the field. And contrary to what people try to say, one of the things that I don't get credit for, Max, sitting in this seat, is that I don't try to mess with people's money. I want them to get their money.
That's true. By the way, that's true. Stephen A., in front of the camera and behind the scenes, does not want to mess with people's money.
I don't.
You'll even say it like, I don't want to talk about anyone getting fired, coaches, and
I don't want to
like
mess
that.
With yep. their money. I want yep. you to get paid. A lot of times I wait until a player gets his contract, and then I'll sit up there and talk about it. Now, obviously, we got to take things into consideration, cap hits and all of this other stuff. But Julius Randle has proven he's not a number one option. You're going left. I don't give a damn if he's got to go right up the hill, around the corner, down the block. He's coming back left, and everybody knows it. And so Nate McMillan, being the great coach that he is, game plans for it. Julius Randle is pushing people off and getting physical just to get off his left-handed shot, because him and R.J. Barrett, I know R.J. Barrett's got youth on the side, but damn it, the two of them, they're going left. They're using their left hand. That no suspense, no intrigue, no nothing. And against a talented squad like the Atlanta Hawks, you got to do better. And the reason why, even though R.J. Barrett is young, I'm bringing him off. I'm bringing him up because he's shooting 27% from three-point range in the 30s from the field. I'm going to say this to R.J. Barrett and the Julius Randle. Derrick Rose is 32 years of age. He's been through a plethora of injuries. It's miraculous that he's back and balling. Averaging 22.8 points per game for the New York Knicks, shooting about 50% from the field and from three-point range. Derrick Rose is your best player. Y'all can't give him more help than that. That's where their limitation lies, Max.
Yeah, and
in closing,
they don't have enough talent.
In closing, I'm going to say this. You're right. It was never about talent. It was about will over skill, because we knew that the skill belonged to the Atlanta Hawks. And I thought the Knicks had enough will to steal one game in Atlanta and come back with home and reclaim home court advantage. But in the end, what it comes down to is you, R.J. Barrett, I'm going to bring this up, Max. The number one overall pick in that draft is Zion. The number two overall pick in that draft is Ja Morant. And then there's you. Come on.
Well, Derrick Rose.
You got to give something a little more
Derrick
than that.
Derrick Rose was a prodigy. None of these dudes were. Derrick Rose was the MVP at 22. The remains of Derrick Rose is going to be better than any of these dudes are ever going to be, because he has all-time great, oh, my God, did you see that? I'll always remember this player kind of talent. Julius Randle, Stephen A., he can only go left since he got in the league. Everyone knows that. But here's the problem with Randle. I don't even think he's a number two scoring option. Not on a championship contender. He's a third option. If you're going to pay a lot of attention to him defensively, there's not a lot he's going to be able to do. He can clean up on the glass. He can hit an open shot from distance. He really did made real strides doing that this year. He was a top five MVP candidate regular season. Regular season doesn't count for much. He's a number three option on a championship contender. Barrett hopes that one day he could be a number two. He's far from that right now. The Hawks got shooters everywhere you look. Trae Young is a super, or playing like, embracing that superstar Nick antagonist role. But I just want to get back to the original point. Look at this Knicks fan. Believe me, I was one. I know the mind of a Knicks fan. I know the heart of a Knicks fan. You came in and celebrated one single home playoff. You said not like a Cowboys fan. It was exactly like a Cowboys fan. Just won the chip.
Not at all.
It was one game.
Not at all. No. The people outside, we were euphoric. We were happy because the New York Knicks had tied the series 1-1, and we were going to Atlanta to try to reclaim home court advantage. Ain't nobody talking about them beating Philadelphia or Brooklyn. We know better than that. Dallas Cowboy fans go 1-15. No going to the Super Bowl next year, right? No going to the Super Bowl. We didn't do that. Knicks fans didn't do that. So I'll never compare myself to the Cowboy fans. But like I said, we here. It ain't over yet.
I'm proud of you.
It's not You're over here yet. For another game or two.
It's not
proud of you because you said will over skill. You had the will. You got on that plane. You packed your bag.
Exactly. And Julius Randle. And Julius Randle. And Julius Randle.
ATL.
And
RJ Barrett did not show up.
And you had a heart filled with hope.
Are you going to be rooting for the Nets? Because this is all going to be over for the Knicks game or two. You're going to start rooting for the Nets?
Of course I will, once the New York Knicks are gone. I will always root for New York first. Always root for New York first. There's a lot of people rooting against the Brooklyn Nets. I won't root against them. I won't root against them. They're from New York, baby. They're one of the five boroughs. They're one of the five boroughs. I'm going to give them love. Except for they'll never get more love from me than the Knicks. But I'm going to give them love. But I'm telling you this right now. Here's how you handle this, Tom Thibodeau, okay? Julius Randle's a big boy. You going left any damn way. How about getting those big boys in some foul trouble because you taking it to the rack? How about Tom Thibodeau not calling a play for you where you posting up with your backside of somebody 20 feet away, 20 feet away from the basket where you got to turn around, dribble the ball, and you going back left. You literally can wait on Julius Randle's left side. Just wait. You can literally sit back and just go like this, y'all. You can literally just go like this. He's coming this way with his left hand. Just stay there and wait for him. Just wait for him. Now, if you want to contest the three, you could do that. But you literally can just stand there with your hands in your pocket. If he's going to drive, you literally can wait for him to come to the left. Come to the left. He's coming back left. He's coming left. And R.J. Barrett came on First Take, and he said, I got news for you. I'm right-handed. I said, I don't give a damn. You never use it. We don't see your right hand. You're going left, too. You got to be more versatile.
That's on offense. That's what's happening. What about the defense? You got to run some guys off the three-point line?
Yes.
I mean, you got to do something.
And by the way, Isaiah Thomas has said this on countless occasions because I believe it's the only way to beat the Brooklyn Nets. Don't double anyone.
Good
Make
luck.
Sure. Listen. If they score on you, they score on you.
They
but
will.
At least you have someone that's in front. You're in front as a defender. That's all you got to do. If you're the New York Knicks, make Atlanta Beach. Even if you switch it, make sure somebody's in front of everybody. No doubling.
Hey, do this. Get a refundable ticket. All right.
No. I'm not going to do that. I'm coming back to the ATL. The Wednesday night, we're going to win at the Garden, and we're going back to the ATL Thursday.